Indeed, come Holy Spirit. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this day of Pentecost will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 21. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Amalekites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven and above the signs of the earth below, blood, fire, vapor, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word. It's not a snippet. It's not a sound bite taken out of context. Father, this is your word that speaks powerfully of the salvation that is found in and through Jesus Christ. Sanctify us in this truth. We know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great part of Scripture. This part of Scripture should really have us, I mean, if dancing wasn't so wrong, we should be dancing in the streets. I was joking about the wrong part. But think about it. This is exactly what the world has been waiting for. Victory. There is victory found in these words. And I think it's so awesome because they had just gone through the mill, these guys. They believe very strongly that Jesus, along with the rest of the Israelites, believe that Jesus was going to be the one to free them from the grip of Rome. That in all honesty now, their day has come back to them, that they'd be this great nation once again. And they look to him to do all of this, but the fact of it is, he was going to do that, but not in the way that they thought. Not in this earthly kingdom. He came in reality to bring about this heavenly kingdom, this perfectness that we needed. They had lost a disciple, an apostle, Judas Iscariot. He made a few blunders. Greed kind of took over. Needless to say, they needed to change up the ranks because now you can't really go out and represent the 12 tribes of Israel with 11 guys. Jesus tells them very plainly before this event, you will have great power. You guys will be a force to be reckoned with in this world, and you need to wait for that power. You need to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit so that you guys can really go out there and do what you're supposed to do. That should be the first inclination to us. We cannot go out and do God's business and think we can do it alone. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that equips us to be able to go out there and do this. And it's an interesting thing because now when they have to replace Judas, there's two men that they're really looking at. And under the inspiration of this Spirit, because Jesus had breathed on them already, we read about that. But in reality, they now draw lots. Because it wasn't up to Peter. It wasn't up to James. It wasn't up to these individuals to say who could take the place of Judas. So now they are fully equipped because they draw lots. The lot falls on Matthew. And now they're ready to go. And now we're given this understanding. Once all the bases are set, now they're ready to go. And this is where really our text picks up. It's the day of Pentecost. And boy, we get excited over this because we do understand day of Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we think sometimes, like what we do with most holidays, we have a tendency to think, well, it is only unique to us. Why were they all together? Why were all these nations together? Because this is really a Jewish celebration. The children of Israel would get together for Pentecost. They would come together and they would celebrate. They'd celebrate basically two things. One was probably more carnal, it was more materialistic, it was agricultural. They'd come together to celebrate the wheat harvest, to give thanks for what God has provided for. But then they also came together to celebrate the fact that God gave them the law on Mount Sinai. See, because Pentecost takes place about 50 days after the Passover. So there's a lot of rich history here where they gave thanks to God for their earthly things. Oh, don't we do that in the Lord's Prayer? For the daily bread? And don't we also give thanks to God for being the one in reality to be in charge of all things? Here he is, they're celebrating and handing out the law. See, but we have a disdain sometimes for the law because we've gone through a period in our lives, some of us have, where people have tried to take legalism and pound you over the head with it and make you to conform that way. But it's not that the law was bad. It was that I could not perform it. In all essence, the law of itself was perfect and holy and righteous, but I just couldn't do it. So people were trying to put something over me that I couldn't do, so therefore I worked myself into a quandary. But it didn't take away from the fact that God loved them so much that he wanted their lives to be better. That he was seeking for them to have a better life. You might think I'm smoking something, that's fine. But the fact of it is, if you honor your mother and father, aren't you going to have a better life? If you in reality love your neighbors, aren't you going to have a better life? If you don't steal, isn't it going to be better for you? I'm not saying you're saved by these things, but God gave us governances to in reality give us a healthier lifestyle that we actually could live honorably in this world and not be threatened by being caught. But the fact of it is, this is not a new day for them. They were coming to celebrate something of old. But God is going to use this day to usher in something that is so phenomenal. It's something of greatness and of newness. Because it's the day of the giving of the Holy Spirit where we do not in reality rely on what we can do, but rather we are gifted of Himself to be able to go and do. It is He in us. So anyways, they're all together on the day of Pentecost. I probably bored you a little too much with some of the details. But sometimes it's good to understand where these things come from. And so anyways, they're all together in one place, and then it says very plainly here, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of the blue, came this sound from heaven. It's like a rushing wind. And some people debate, well, was this actually like really a big noise? Yeah, actually it is. Because it called them together. There's a sound out of heaven like a rushing wind, and it filled the entire gathering place, the entire house where they were all sitting. It's kind of interesting because, you know, you sit there and you say, well, who is this? Is this just the 12? Is it the 120 we've seen in chapter 1? But it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then it says that there was like divided like tongues of fire. And so there was this imagery. And now you got to understand, the author is trying to describe this in a way that we can get. That there was this physical element that they could see of God blessing His people. They didn't do anything for this. They weren't, you know, running around the city wall 7 times. They weren't doing any of these kind of things. The fact of it is that God desired to bless. So now He enters into their midst, and it says that there were these tongues of fire that they appeared on them. They rested on each and every one of them, indicating the blessings of God. What a beautiful thing this is. Fire is oftentimes a depiction of God's presence. We see it even with Moses in the burning bush. Makes you kind of want to take your shoes off, doesn't it? Because this is holy ground. But it says, and they were filled. They were filled. Not halfway, not a quarter tank like Aho drives with, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives in abundance. And God is going to do great things here. And so He's giving in this abundance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's an interesting thing because now they have utterance. They speak. And how do they speak? Too many times, some of the churches out there, I would say in a light way, kind of use this as more of an abuse. Like everybody has to do this. There is a gift of speaking in tongues. I would never belittle that. I don't have it. Maybe someday God will bless me with it. But the fact of it is, this specific example we are given here is for a great purpose. And to misuse it is really sad. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit opened up. It wasn't them performing. It wasn't them doing. It wasn't their abilities. The Spirit gave this utterance. And then we're given now this little injection. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem all kinds of people. Jews, devout men from where? Because of the dispersion, they were from every nation. They were coming to celebrate. They were coming to celebrate the Pentecostal feast. And so they were from all over the place. And now remember, they're speaking in these languages. They're speaking in these tongues, okay? And it's very, very interesting because what happens? People are drawn. People are drawn to this. And the sound, in reality, the sound of it actually made the multitude come together. To hear these individuals preaching in a tongue that they can hear. And this is, to me, one of the most important things that we could get out of this text. There's so many times, especially when we start seeing things go on around us in this pandemic that we've been talking about. We think, well, you know, in our churches, we got to offer this. We got to offer this. We got to do this. We got to do this. What we need to do is preach the Word of God. to allow that that word would have an impact in a community and draw people in. It's not about everything else. Those other things are beautiful, fine, wonderful, great. You guys want softball teams and everything? Good, have them. It ain't me. I don't play softball. You'd kick me off in 10 minutes. Not saying it's wrong. That's not my point. They preached. The power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of this great throng of people gave these 12 the ability to start speaking the word. And it came out in a language that others understood. There was a divine purpose to this. And the preaching of that word drew the people in. Sometimes I think we forget that. I think I forget that. I shouldn't say that about you. Putting words in your mouth is not sanitary. I shouldn't do that. I forget that. But I remember not long ago, probably about 10 years ago, I was in a little tiny church in the middle of nowhere, and I'm not trying to degrade the people there. It's just in the middle of the country. And literally, you have to look for this church. You have to look for it. Because even on the highway, M38, there's not a sign. And it's way off of that. But I remember people coming. And I sat down with one elder and I said, I don't know why people are coming. It doesn't make sense. We don't even have a sign. It's in the middle of nowhere. We don't have a radio ministry. We're in the middle of Alston. And the man said, because you preach in the word. And when you preach the word, the people will come. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes Jesse forgets that. But there was this sound of this word, of this preaching that came out. And the multitude came together. And when they came together, what happened? They're blown away. Because it wasn't the usual rhetoric. It wasn't the usual right sentences and perfect things. It's like one elder told me one time, she said, well, you don't really preach like the rest of the people. You say things differently, but you say the right things. Sometimes we're looking for those familiar rhetoric. We're looking for the familiar words, the tone. These people, they were bewildered. They were blown away because each one of them was hearing God's word being spoken in their own language that they could relate to. We went through a transition here just recently. In our last annual meeting, we went through this process of deciding whether to follow the King James rule or to get off of the King James rule and actually go with the ESV. And it's not a light matter. We don't offer any disrespect to the Federation, and we offer no disrespect to any church in any of our groups that wants to use the King James. It's a beautiful version if you understand all the understandings of the words and the way it's written. But someone made a statement to me. And the statement was, we need to reach the people that are in front of us. We need to be able to have the word of God that we're using actually reach the people that are in front of us. Not only a cultured old English style audience. And that was enough for me. Because these people heard it in their own language. Why are we so critical? I understand the seriousness of Scripture. And I understand the fact of that, you know, you need to have a good translation. And I believe very strongly CSB, ESV is a very good, strong translation. But why can't we use something to reach the people? They all heard it in their own language. I always thought that was kind of funny because you turn around and you would hear people argue against the King James, but then, as I say, they get a tear in their eye and they quote the Finnish version. Why is that acceptable? We need to preach the word, no matter what. we need to preach the word. They were hearing it in their own language, and they were amazed. They were astonished, saying, you know, are these not Galileans? They're from this area here. These are local yokels. How in the world are they doing this? They're not highly educated. They haven't gone through all the right grammar schools. They haven't done all of this. How is it that we hear each one in our own language? You know what the answer is? It's God. It's God. God is the one to give us the ability as believers in Jesus Christ to do things that were unimaginable. God, in reality, is the one to provide us with all the equipment that we need to reach a world that needs to be reached. They're wondering how. And they start to name it. They're like, they're from all these different areas, different countries, dealing with all this different stuff. He says, and not only that, they're not only the highly educated or the ones that have been, whose boy are you raised? They're proselytes. You know what a proselyte is? It's a Gentile convert. He's not a good old boy. You know, it's kind of like in our group sometimes. You know, you know, like me. Only thing I have going for me is my grandparents had the heritage, but I married Billy Ajo's daughter. And I happen to have the name that goes along with things, but like in our group, you go somewhere, whose boy are you? I always say my dad's. But gets mixed reviews. But the fact of it is, I'll say, well, Dave Ajo, which one is he? Oh, he's that divorced one. Yeah, I know him. So then I started switching it. Whose boy are you? Well, I'm Jelmer's grandson. You're in. Jelmer's grandson. Well, he was a fine and upstanding individual. In fact, I was told that by one of the elders in our church years ago. He had a great argument with me, and he turned around and he said, you know what? You come from good stock. So you're a good man. He walked away. This is what he's saying. These are not just good old boys. These are converts. And they heard. And they heard it in their own native tongue. Because God desired for them to hear the message of restoration. That's what's so important about this day of Pentecost. God desires for restoration. He wants you and I personally to know of his love. And he will go to any great extremes to share that with us. He will send who he needs to send, no matter who they are, to give us that message that we would have this hope. He will use whatever translation happens to be in front of you. Yes, I said that. In order that you would have this hope. If God can speak through the mouth of a donkey, he can definitely do it through us. He said they're both Jews and proselytes. These individuals, they don't come from our group. And they were all perplexed. They were all amazed, saying, what does this mean? This means, in reality, what God has promised. And that's what Peter is going to tell us. Because Peter stands up. And I think it's awesome because he was the one that was pounded down. He was the one that said he'd never deny. And he denied. But Jesus knew it. But Jesus came back after the resurrection, after Peter's denial, and he says, you go tell Peter. And then when he sees Peter, it's not by chance. At the end of John, the previous book of this, he tells Peter to feed his sheep. He tells him three times. That perfect number, that number of Trinity, that number of God, three times. He gives them full restoration. Do you hear what he's saying? Peter, your job is to bring the word to the people. Our job as a congregation, our job as a nation in reality, is to bring the word to the people. There is no salvation, other any other word. We have that beautiful opportunity to share this word with the world. Peter stands up in this boldness and this restoration. He says, you know what, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem? He says, listen to my words. And then he continues on to quote from Joel chapter 2. He speaks about how God, Joel was not a mighty prophet. He wasn't one that we hear tons of stuff about. But he delivered one of the most powerful messages that God is going to bring restoration. And it's going to happen. And it's not going to matter whether whose boy they are, whose girl they are. It's not going to matter in any of this stuff. It's not going to matter in what language. It only matters that the word of God is faithfully administered to. And he says, and it doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter in reality if you're a servant or you're a free individual. He says, God is doing a great work and you are experiencing that right now. God has always maintained that the world is in trouble. It is in a difficult place. And he's going to send the remedy. And he sent the remedy. And we call him Jesus, the Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, everything that we do in life can bring honor and glory to God. Absolutely. We can praise him. We can play games. We can start clubs. We can do all kinds of stuff. But we're all saved by that grace through faith. We in reality are brought to the word. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of what? Of that word. There is nothing, and I will stake my career on it, there is nothing in the Christian church that is more important in reality, obviously, than the blood of Christ, but that word of that blood of Christ. That God loves you, and he loves you so much, he gave his son for you. And giving his son for you gives you, in reality, the ability in and through Christ to be partakers of this Holy Spirit. We don't just celebrate wheat anymore. We don't celebrate a law that we could not complete. We celebrate a completed law and a completed provision in and through Jesus Christ. May we share it with the world. May we share it today. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you. Because even as this scripture that we read says today, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We praise and we thank you for this. For we call on you today. And we ask that you would be with us ever present. Strengthen us and encourage us. Give us your peace. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I bet you're glad you're having a